All right, we are going to attempt to finish 2 Timothy today. I think we can do it. I think we can. We picked up, or we left off last week, only going to the first four verses in chapter 4. And there's a lot there. There's a lot within all of this stuff. And remember, the important thing about Timothy is it's a letter to us as a church. It's a letter to leadership as a church, what you guys are to look for in a church, what your expectations are in a church, and us as leadership and what the church should be. I think there's a lot of confusion out there today of what is a church? You know, you see people post on Facebook, hey, I'm looking for a new church, and tell me about yours. It's like, sell me on yours. And you see a lot of, well, we've got this, and we've got a very dynamic speaker pastor. We've got all these events, and very few of them say, yeah, we got the Word of God. And that's the important thing. Because if we are going to guard, to endure, to continue, and finish strong our race that we have, and remember, we're all running our own race. That's important to realize. Sometimes we get this comparison of running with somebody else, and they're like, we got to be like them. We got to compare ourselves to them. We got to have a walk like them. We got to have the success like them. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're going to run your race, and that's going to be different because God knows what we need to go through in that we would grope for Him. He has predetermined our time, our boundaries, where we live, what we do, all of the situations that we go through so that we would grope for Him. Just like the sun does two things to the clay or to the wax. It can soften the wax or it can harden the clay. It depends on you as to what the Word of God does and to what life's circumstances does. When you're running your race and there's a lot of challenges and God's saying, hey, I'm throwing these all out there so that you'll turn to me. Well, we have a decision. We could be like Pharaoh and we can harden our heart and go, I can't believe you, God, are doing this. I can't believe that I'm going through all these. I thought you loved me. And there we have that hardening of our heart. I can't believe in a God that would send me through all this. Look at so-and-so. Look at them. They've got it easy. We got to stop doing that. We have a personal one-on-one relationship with God. And we need to run that race and finish strong. And here's how Paul is going to end this letter. He's going to say, hey, my life didn't end so well. Where is he? He's in a prison. He's about to be executed. And he's going to tell Timothy, I've come to the close of my race. And I have finished strong. Now, some people can look at this and go, yeah, all these people. He had some friends. He had some people betray him. And he's going to die for his faith. Had nothing. He's even asking Timothy to bring parchments for him to read. To bring, you know, some clothes because he's cold. That's the reward that he got for living a life for God. How does that sound for you today? Because we've got it wrong, don't we? We think a successful life of God is going to be a packed church, is going to be a radio ministry, a television ministry, a book deal, sold out stadiums. Well, if that's the case, then Paul didn't do so well, did he? He's a failure. He didn't have any of that. He was a best-selling author, by the way. 2/3 of his letters ended up in the New Testament, and the Bible still continues to be the most, you know, best-selling book of all times. But I say that tongue-in-cheek. So how do we finish strong? Well, I hope you, through this kind of section, this series, if you will, we don't do series, our series are books, through this section, understand the importance of sound doctrine, because that's really what it's all about, and how we've got to guard against that, and how we've got to guard against our calling, and we need to do it. Because that's really what it's all about. To remain faithful in what God has called you to do. And to do the work of an evangelist. By the way, that is what it means to do the work of the evangelist. Just to remain loyal and faithful to your God. And to do what he created you to do. And this is why the last two Wednesdays of Genesis has been so powerful. Because we understand that, yeah, God created everything for a purpose, including us. Chapter 1 of Genesis shows his power in creation. Chapter 2 shows the intimate creation of man. God just didn't speak man into existence like he did everything else. No, he formed him with his hands and then breathed into him. Pretty cool. And you see that. And then when you tie the two together, and it's very interesting because how does Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 tie with 2 Timothy? Because it gives us purpose. It shows us that when Adam was told to tend and keep the garden, it's not like what we think. Because when I tell you to go tend the garden, you're like, okay, I'm going to go weed and prune and water and fertilize and do all the things that gardeners do. No, these were spiritual terms in the original Hebrew. It was the same terms given to the priests with the instructions of how to keep the sanctuary. You were to tend and keep the sanctuary, not the garden, because the garden was the sanctuary. Well, guess where the sanctuary is today? It went from the garden to the tabernacle to the temple to us. And so we're called to tend and keep the sanctuary. And what did Adam fail in doing? He didn't tend and keep the sanctuary and allowed the serpent to come in and to deceive. You see the tie-in to 2 Timothy? You see, we are called to tend and keep this sanctuary, and we cannot allow deception in, false doctrine in. We can't allow this to happen. And the Bible gives us lots of warning that in the latter days, which we're in, there will be a great falling away, a tickling of the ears we covered last week. And we went over that and saw all kinds of examples of what that looks like. Did you come here today because of you wanted to hear something, or did you come here today because you needed to hear something? Two totally different perspectives. Some people come to our church and are like, yeah, that's not kind of what I wanted to hear. Yeah, probably not. I don't tickle ears. No, we take the Q-tip and we jam it in there. Sometimes, folks, that's painful, yeah? I mean, we could go on that whole analogy of that if you wanted to. Allowing the wax to get hard in our ears and you can't hear. I mean, we could do all kinds of fun stuff, but that's just how I think. I get weird sometimes. But yeah, we have to guard our sanctuary. And Paul says, you know what? It may not look like you think it's going to look. So let's take a look at what it looked like for Paul. We'll pick it up in verse 5. I'm kind of overlapping a little bit, but that's okay. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Malta. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. And Tychicus, love that name. Anybody having a kid? This is a great name. Tychicus. Tychicus. Should name a dog after. I don't know. That's a cool name. Anyway, sorry. I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Torres. When you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila for the household of Onesiphorus. Eusphorus stayed in Corinth, but Timophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubula greets you, as well as Phidon, Linus, Claudia, and the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. The last words of Paul. So Paul here is going to start off here in verse 5, which actually is a continuation of verses 1 through 4, because he says, here's the warning, 1 through 4, and he says, but you have a choice. You need to choose to be different. And how do you be different? Well, the first thing is just you got to be watchful. We have to be watchmen. Eyes up, ears up, paying attention. What are you listening to? What are you watching? Who are you receiving from? We get that example in Acts. For they received with all readiness. They received, they heard, they listened, they watched. But then what they do? They searched the scriptures to find out whether they were so. That's one good thing about going verse by verse. And if you don't have your Bible open with us or follow along on the screen, right, do so, because you want to make sure that what I am saying is what is, there in the Bible. not taking into consideration the mispronunciation. It's not what it says. Yeah. Public schools. Pueblo public schools. But you get the point, yeah? We have to be watchful. We have to watch for these things. And search the scripture. Does that line up? In today's culture, we're so quick to hear and to receive and to trust what we're hearing because of a label. Well, the doctor said he must be right because he's got an MD after his name. The politician said because they've got a letter after their name. The preacher said because... You guys get the idea. Listen, people can be wrong intentionally and unintentionally. Kind of like ignorance. They can be ignorant or they can be ignorant. Ignorant, ignoring the facts and trying to push their own objective, changing the narrative. Or they can be ignorant because they don't know, like Priscilla and Aquila. They had to be corrected at one point. And then once they receive the correct word, they're like, oh, okay, I'm wrong. Cool, let's go down the right way. But you guys need to stop trusting humans. Do you quote the pastor more than you quote the Bible? We talked about that last week. You now have a celebrity pastor. You're not going to heaven because of me today. Did you know that? You're not growing in faith because of me today. Did you know that? You're growing in faith because of the Word of God. I'm not the magic piece. The Word is. Because if you go to chapter 1 of Genesis, you see the Word is what ignites the life in creation. We learned that last Wednesday. Not this last one, the Wednesday before. Right? The seed was already in the earth. And when God spoke, he activated it. The seed is in you. And when God speaks through his word, he activates. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The words of Bill? Yeah, the word of God. And that's why who you listen to, you need to have your Bible open. And you need to be saying, is he saying his own thing, or is this the word of God? And so we always say, hey, get your Bible, but you don't have one? Take one. We provide them. But we have to do this. So you be watchful in all things, and then you endure. Now, if we follow the progression of 2 Timothy, what was the first chapter all about? This is the audience participation portion of today's program. Guarding, yeah. We have the guard standing there, right? Maybe it's one of those cool, you know, UK guards, palace guards, you know, standing there with the dress and the big fuzzy head. Guarding. What do we got to guard against? We got to guard against the gospel. We got to guard against our faith. We got to guard against all these things, right? And then what's chapter 2? Enduring. Yeah, because it's not going to be easy. Jesus tells you this. It's not going to be easy. So how do you endure? You guard. You see, the ability to endure comes from how much you guarded the gospel, how much you guarded against sound doctrine, how much you guarded your calling. So important. Then you continue, yeah, chapter 3. We're continuing in these things, pressing forward, so that we finally end in chapter 4 where Paul says, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. And how did he finish? He remained faithful. You see, that's the key word. I'm skipping ahead a little bit. What is the trophy at the end of the race for the Christian? The crown of righteousness, but what got me there? What determined whether I received the crown or not? Finishing in faith. Yes. It wasn't about numbers. It wasn't about how many people Paul led to Christ, how many people you lead to Christ, what you do. It doesn't matter. It says, were you faithful? Were you loyal to God and to your calling? Because that, by the way, is doing the work of the evangelist. Remember, we've redetermined or redefined what that meant. We're going another step down from the surface reading of the Bible and surface reading understanding what it means. What is your testimony? What is your witness? What does it mean to receive and confess with your mouth? What does it mean to do the work of the evangelist? It means live the story. Tell the story through living the story. And yeah, we're going to fall down. We're going to have hiccups. But you know what? When you fall down and you get back up, that speaks volumes. Because you're authentic. The people who never fall down are living a fairy tale, yeah? A facade. When you look at somebody and go, man, I wish I could be a Christian like them. You know what you see? It's like the iceberg. You see this little exposure, but down here it's like this massive chunk of ice that nobody sees. But you see this little portion. Remember, you need to remember that. Whenever you look at anybody who has been successful or faithful or whatever, you're just seeing a little portion. But underneath, man, there's lots of failures. There's lots of trips. There's lots of, oh, I've fallen down. Yeah, we're not Weeble Wobbles who don't fall down. We fall down, but we get back up. That's how you endure. That's it. You know, the great theologian, Rocky Balboa. What does he say? You keep pushing forward. When you get hit, you get back up. Yeah, I think that was Rocky IV. I don't know. Talking to his kid. Keep going. Do the work of the evangelist. I already kind of talked about that. That's just living the life. Being authentic. Being real. Fulfill your ministry. What has God called you to do? It's the greatest thing you can discover. What has he called you to do? Now, Paul now is going to transition in verse 6 to his own example of what he's talking about here. For I am already being poured out. Poured out meaning as a sacrifice. His life is a sacrifice. Is your life a sacrifice for the Lord? He laid his life down for you as an example that we lay our lives down for him. It's a sacrifice. And yeah, being a Christian, doing what I've asked you to do, to endure, to go against the grain when everybody else is going the way of the world, it takes sacrifice, yeah? You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose family. You're going to probably lose financially. You're going to lose in popularity. The wage of the war rages against you. For sure. Because the darkness does not comprehend the light. I get caught up in that all the time. Why is it so hard for us? I don't get it. Why is it so hard for us? Why do we always have a difficult time? Well, because spiritual fight, yeah, Ephesians 6. And it kind of reinforces that he's talking about a sacrifice because he says it's as if a drink offering unto the Lord. And the time of my departure, meaning that I'm leaving, right? The boat is leaving the dock. That's what the Greek talks about. The ropes are in, the little ramp is up, and the ship is leaving. That's what he's saying with the departure. He is setting sail. He knows it. He knows he's going to die, which is going to help offset what he talks about later. Because then later he talks about that the Lord would deliver him in verse 18, but he's not talking about this. So don't think that, well, wait a second. He understands that his ship is sailing, but then in verse 18 he prays for deliverance and God doesn't answer that. No, 18, he's not talking about that. We'll get to that. But he's moving on. He's finished the race. He has given up everything for the Lord. He didn't quit under pressure. Guys, this is vital. How many times do we get a little bit of pressure and we're like, I quit. I give up. I don't like it. It's tough. You know, as an example in fighting, right? You're rolling around on the ground. Somebody puts their hand over there, and you're like, "Oh, and you could totally breathe, but we panic. We do that in our Christian life. Did you know that? Things get a little tight. Oh, we gotta fix this. God says I'm gonna provide, but maybe He meant through other means, right? Careful, you'll get a son of the flesh. We got to endure. And here's the thing. Over time, when you start to panic, when that face is covered, and you're like, oh, wait, I can't breathe. I'm okay. You know, I train people when they flinch when getting hit. I train them just to be like, okay, I'm all right. Okay. Talk through it. Yeah, you're getting hit, but you're okay. You're okay. Spiritually, we need to do that. Things get a little tight. The conforming starts to happen. And you're like, okay, God's got me. God's got me. I'm good. He won't forsake me. He won't leave me. And guess what? Over time, you're able to withstand more under pressure. But if you are so quick to tap out, you'll never grow in that area, church. And so you need to do that. You need to be able to endure. Because I'm going to tell you, the world isn't going to give you a choice. It's going to get tougher. We have a saying in the gym that it's a lot safer to train in here than it is out there. But you do it 1,000 times here, and then when you go out there, it's no big deal. Well, it's less of a big deal. Do you understand that's the same philosophy? We're training here, right? Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what church is. And maybe you're sitting here today going, I don't really feel comfortable with what he's saying. Yeah, work that out now, because out there it's really uncomfortable. And if you cave here, you're definitely going in a friendly environment where we're not going to hurt you. We're going to build you up. You go out there, they're going to destroy you. So learn to endure. Stop quitting under pressure. And I know what you're going to say, but you don't understand. And you know what? You're right. I don't understand the pressure that you are going through. But guess what? You don't understand the pressure I'm going through. Why? Because we're running separate races. Okay? I can look at somebody and go, man, that's an easy one. And you're like, this thing's wrecking me. And then you're like, well, what do you struggle with? Oh, I struggle with this. And you're like, well, that's an easy one. You see, the things, my mountains are molehills to you, just like your molehills are mountains to me. We don't understand the actual what you're going through, but we understand the principle of, yeah, it's tough. Got to stay in the fight. You got to endure. Please hear me in this, because I'm telling you, if you can't endure today, you're not going to be able to endure in the future. The Bible is clear. It's going to get worse. And there's two thoughts on the timing of the rapture. Oh, and by the way, it didn't happen on the 23rd as predicted, or whatever it was. Was it 23rd or 25th? I don't remember. 25th? No. Man, everybody was... I didn't even know. But there was a prediction that it was going to happen. Didn't. Anyway, there's two views on that. Either God's going to take the church before the pressure comes, or he's going to take it right at the last second. He's going to close the door right before the rain comes. I'm kind of leaning more personal opinion, right, that it's going to happen latter. Those that are really hanging on and enduring through are the ones that are going to go. Because in that process, you're going to have a falling away of those who really weren't among you. Because it's easy to say, yeah, I'm a believer when things are good. It's very hard to say, yeah, I'm a believer when a gun's to your head. Very hard. Okay? So, I have fought the good fight. Guys, Paul says, this is a good fight. It's a spiritual fight. Yeah, you were told to tend and keep the garden, Paul. You see, they were to influence the world from the inside out. The sanctuary of the Garden of Eden was to influence the rest of the world. Go out and have dominion. Okay? This is what God told him. When we tend and keep ours, our influence goes out. You see, we don't reflect the power of God. We are the power of God. Because where is God? In the sanctuary. So we don't reflect the power of God. We don't reflect God. No, God should be shining from within outward. Huge. I have finished the race. Your race, what is it? I have kept the faith. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I've already kind of briefly talked about it. But he says that the key thing to finishing the race is keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. And again, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by exercising that faith. Trusting in God a little bit more every day. Allowing the pressure to happen, and then God saying, hey, I got you. I want you to think back to all the events of your life in the past. Are you here today? Guess what? You made it through. You might have been in a spot where you were going through one of those going, I can't survive this. I can't, this is going to take me out. I'm done. This is it. Right? Remember Sanford's son? Please, I'm coming home. Or whatever her name was, I don't remember. There have been a lot of times in your life you're like, oh, this is it. I'm coming. I'm done. But you're here today. God kept his promise. And in that, you look back and you go, you know what? I walked through that. You should be a little stronger to walk through what he's going to bring to you. If you made that choice to allow that son to soften your heart and that circumstance to grow you in the Lord, or did you allow it to harden your heart? You see how it all ties together? It's all choice. Get mad at God? Can't believe you're doing this. You're so unfair, God. Why are you doing this now? Why is this happening to me? I thought you loved me. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying that flippantly. I'm just saying that because I'm out of examples. That's hardening your heart, folks. And then guess what? The next trial comes, and now you're like farther away, farther away. And then finally there's a point where you just walk away. Or there's that part where it's like, I'm going to grope for you, God. I'm going to squeeze into your presence. I'm going to squeeze into your power. I'm going to grow in faith that you will not leave me. You will not forsake me. I understand you died for me. You say that I have an eternal reward. And if this is the moment, this is the moment. But I'm going to press into that. And now you're growing in faith. Then he takes you along. Or another circumstance comes, or another temptation or persecution comes, it's a little tighter. And you're like, okay, I've been through this before. He had me last time, he's got me now. You guys get the idea? But the key in all of that is faith. Right? Being fully convinced. And then using that faith in your ministry. Hey, God called me here today. I don't know what kind of effect it's going to have on you today. It doesn't matter. God called me today. I showed up. Guess what? I was what? Faithful. That's the only box I'm looking for checking, yeah? Not the I was effective. Not the I was popular. Not the everybody said amen. Not that three people left on the way said good job. Not that the tithe box got fuller. Not that. There's one box. Did you show and did you do? Yes, Lord. Well done. You see, guys, that takes all the pressure off of you, yeah? How many people did I get saved today? Oh, man. If everybody's saved in this room, I'm in trouble. I don't have very many options, do I? Okay, let's resave you. You can see where that message now came in, didn't you? Let me tell you how much you're really not saved. Jason, did you speed today or this week? Yeah, never mind, I can't ask Jason that. Dave, did you? Yeah, I can ask Dave that. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I saved that. You're not saved! Dave, you really ought to understand. Now I can check that box. You see what I'm saying? Okay. No, guys, just be faithful in what God called you to do. All right. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. How did he acquire the crown of righteousness, folks? Faithful to what? Believing that Jesus Christ paid for his sins and gave him his righteousness. You see, that's a crown that every one of us will get, by the way. The right standing before God, not based on how he lived, based on what the work of Jesus Christ which the Lord, the righteous judge, right? He's judging your works. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's nothing against you. You are right standing before God. You are righteous. Because of his work, yeah? And he'll give to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Loved his appearing. When did he appear? And the Word became flesh. John chapter 1. They all had an emotional love for him, didn't they? Who was with him at the cross? Where did everybody else that loved him? Again, we come back to that whole idea of, I think we covered it on this Wednesday, love is not an emotion. Love is an action. Love is a choice. Yeah, we did cover it Wednesday because we talked about the two trees in the garden. Boom, showed. It's a choice. So those who acted upon his appearance, those who chose to receive him as the Lamb of God who would take away their sins. That's what that means, okay? That's what that means. Not that, oh, I love that Jesus came. Got to understand what he's talking about. Be diligent to come to me quickly. So now he's going to give some personal instructions and some warnings. For Demas is forsaking me. Yeah, he's calling out people that did wrong. Okay? What did he forsake him for? The love of the world. The love of the world. And has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia. Titus for the Malta. So it doesn't really say whether Crescens or Titus departed him in a bad way. It just said he left. They left. They're not there. No longer there. But he says, Luke is with me. Luke is probably the one that's penning this letter, by the way. Luke was the one, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. Did you know that? How did he know Luke was a Gentile personal physician, if you would, to Paul? He didn't see anything going on. How would he record the Gospel? How did he get the information from Paul? Now, why didn't Paul write his name to it? Paul was the disciple, the apostle, apostle to the Gentiles. If he would have penned his name with all of the persecution Paul got for walking away from being a Pharisee, being a leader of the Jews, persecuting the Jews, all of a sudden now he's switched, or persecuting his church, now he's switched. If he would have put Paul, the Gospel of Paul, none of the Jews would have read it. Just probably why he didn't put his name in the book of Hebrews, which we believe he wrote as well. But anyway, Luke is there. Luke is still with him. And what a scary thing for Luke, because he could be guilty with association. Luke didn't care. Now he moves on to Mark. He says, bring him with you. Now here's an interesting thing. Did you know that Mark and Luke had a falling out? Luke's like, get this young kid out of here. He's not useful to the ministry. He's causing problems. Get him out. Here, he's bringing Mark back as restoration because they got restored. It's okay to have a falling out with somebody in the church as long as you restore that relationship. That's one thing that's important, and you got to seek that out. Maybe they don't want it. If you have issues with somebody in the church, are you seeking them out going, hey, man, we got to talk this through. We got to talk this out. Now, most of the time, The issues in church are one-sided most of the time. Someone will go away going, I got issues with Bill. And I'm like, I don't even know what I did. Oh, it's something he said in the church service, or it's something that I saw him, or whatever it may be. And they'll never come to me and talk about it. No, they'll just leave the church. In fact, there's been people that have done that, and I've gone up to them and said, hey, do we have an issue? Oh, no, we're good, brother. We're good. And then they turn around and meet somebody at the mail house and go, yeah, that guy said blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, hey, I thought we were good. Yeah, we're good. Come on. If I did something to offend you and I don't know, let me know. Let me know. Don't hold it against me and go around telling everybody about it, because you know what? I don't even have an opportunity to fix it because I don't even know. What a great example of Paul and Mark. And just think of this. Is it about you or I? Who's it about, guys? And if we are Christ-like, is Christ divided? No. So why do we have division with each other? Now, understand, we roll up a few names, and he's like, yeah, that dude Demas, yeah, stay away from him. Alexander, stay away from him. But they were never with him. So you got to understand, are we marching to the same beat, or are you a little off? There's a difference there, okay? There's definitely a difference. He says, Mark, who used to not be useful when he sent him away, is now useful for me for the ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. So he's departed him and sent him to Ephesus. By the way, Timothy was in Ephesus, yeah? He says, bring the cloak I left. Bring the cloak. Paul's cold. Again, the prosperity gospel didn't work. Paul failed. Because if the prosperity gospel worked, man, he should have been living in mansions, a couple cars, airplanes. He wouldn't be cold in prison. Mm-mm. He must be a failure. All those prosperity gospels need to throw out 2/3 of the New Testament because Paul is a failure according to their preaching. Carpus at Tyros or Tyrus. When you come, and the books, especially the parchments. So listen, they did have books. They did have parchments of the Old Testament. They had letters. They had collections. Then he moves on to 14. He says, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to the works. He didn't say, hey, go out and get vengeance for me. Paul didn't set up a hit squad. He said, you know what? Let the Lord deal with him. Let the Lord deal with him. Again, if there's a false teacher out there or if there's someone, we call them out just like Paul did. But you know what? Let the Lord deal with him. You know, there's in Acts when the church is starting to rise up and there's things going on and all kinds of confusion. And they're questioning this new cult. And they're brought before the high priest. And the high priest says, you know what? If God's in it, you're not going to stop it. But if he's not, it'll come to nothing. And that's what happens, you know. People go out and they're like, I'm going to start a new church. I'm going to start a different church because your church is no good. I'm going to start a true church. And okay, cool. If God's a part of it, then it'll be great. But if not, if it was a work of the flesh, it's going to fizzle out. But if God's in it, again, we are all on one team, yeah? Perfect. Let it happen. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I think maybe it was last week, I don't know. I would rather have hundreds and thousands and millions of little churches like this than a handful of big mega churches. Because we are stronger collectively. Little units are stronger collectively than one big massive church that gets taken out in one shebang. Cool. Let's have little strong churches that don't divide, that aren't worried about, well, you know, if you come and guest speak at my church, they might like you more, and then they'll go to your church, and you're going to get their tithe, and then we can't pay our bills. Guys, that's what it is. Right? There's a documentary that Brandon sent to me. I haven't yet to watch it.
So I haven't vetted it fully yet, but it's the church business. Is that what it's called, Brandon? Or the business of church or something? And he exposes it. All these nonprofits, all these, quote, ministry things. And it's for the money, guys. It's for the money. I haven't watched it. I didn't even know it existed until he sent it to me, but I think it just came out this month or something. But allow the work, the Lord to do the work. You just keep trudging along. You do your thing. You are to be what? Faithful to what? Your calling. That's it. Verse 15 shows us, hey, you must also be aware for him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first events, no one stood with me. No one was with Paul. Paul didn't win the popularity contest, neither did Jesus. They were all there to be fed, but they weren't there when he got crucified. May it not be charged against him. Paul said the same thing Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. Understand this, guys. I want you to understand this. This is the main takeaway as we're closing the book on how to finish, how to endure. The race may not end well for you. You may be broke, lonely, with nothing, in prison. You may have lost it all. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. No matter where you're at in life, whatever your status is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be poured out as a drink offering? Are you? Maybe you're compromising me. You know, I could go, 90%. It's really the heart of it. Because if you're not willing to lose it all, then you're like the rich young ruler, where Jesus says, hey, you know what? I need you to sell everything and follow me. That's not a universal command, by the way. That was a command unto him personally, because Jesus knew he wouldn't do that. Doesn't mean that God's going to do that to you. Because if your heart's there, then God already knows that. And he's not going to take it away from you just to be a meanie. Mm-mm. But you see, Paul's treasure was in the Lord, not in these earthly things. Is your treasure today in God or in the earthly things? That's a hard one. We can be honest with each other. That's a hard one. Really hard. But you have to have the faith. The only way you're able to give up everything on this earth is to understand you have a greater reward in heaven. The crown of righteousness. It's the only way. That is the only way. You might have nobody. Oh, but you do. Let's look at Paul as a reminder. He says, but the Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthened me. You see, sometimes, especially early on when I came here, I was like, nobody from the church will come and strengthen me, and nobody will come. None of the other pastors will call me. And the one pastor that sent me out here, he said, you got the Lord. What do you need me for? Which I was like, I didn't take that the right way. Well, I know I got the Lord, but But you know what? He was right. I got the Lord. Does it matter? I do unto him. Paul's a perfect. Guys, you got to understand. 2/3 of the New Testament, what we read. If Paul were to walk into the door today, you guys would probably worship him. No. I know. The world would worship Paul after they cleaned him up a little bit, because he was a pretty yucky looking guy. This is Paul. They didn't do that to him then. They left him because he spoke sound doctrine. He told the truth. He didn't tickle ears. That kind of a ministry will lead you to a place of loneliness and solitude and with nothing. And everything I look in the Bible, every example I get, every single of the prophets, whatever they were in that situation, but the Lord was with them the entire time. So that raises the question, does that mean the other churches, the Lord's not there? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we have a letter in Revelation where the Lord's standing outside the church going, can I come in? Yeah? The Lord's with you. I'm not there always. If you're getting your strength from me, careful. I'm fallen too. Get it from the Lord. He will strengthen you. So that the message may be preached fully through me, and that the Gentiles might also hear. Hey, we're Gentiles today. We're hearing it, aren't we? Man, Paul had bigger success than he realized. He even throws this in Acts, when he was thrown to the lions, he was delivered out of the mouth of the lions. What an example. What a life. Hey, what do you want to be? You know, imagine you're in high school. What do you want? You know, yearbooks. I don't, do they even have yearbooks anymore? But, you know, you picture your future self. And what do people say? Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. Paul's in there, is like, yeah, I'm going to be fed to the lions. I'm going to be in jail. I'm going to end broke. I'm going to be shipwrecked. They're going to stone me, carry me out to die. Wow. That guy needs help. He needs some self-esteem. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me. So here he's saying, hey, I thought he was understanding he's departing. Yeah, guess what? Every evil work is where? Right here. The Lord is going to deliver him from the darkness. And he's going to preserve him forever into the heavenly kingdom. See, Paul's eyes were fixed upon the eternal life with God, not the present life in prison. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus, Estrus and Corinth, but Trobophis. The PH is F in the Greek. That's why I try to say it. But I have left in Malta sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you as well, as so does Foetus or whatever, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Names mean something to God. Ministry is relational, guys. We're all in this together. We're a team. Okay? We're the body of Christ, yeah? We're the body. And then he says this. Where's Dennis? I'm supposed to give him a cue. Yeah. So I'm a little late, Dennis. Run. Like, run, Forrest. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And he says, grace to you. It begins with grace. And the Lord shows us grace. And it ends with grace. It ends with grace. Death is like a tragic thing. Separation. Paul says, I'm going to be separated from the evil of this world. God is being gracious to me. When people are suffering and God takes them, we're like, oh, the Lord was gracious to him because he's not suffering anymore. Anytime a believer leaves, no matter what age, tragic as it is, man, they're out of this mess. God is graceful. Begins with grace, ends with grace. And it will be grace forever, amen? That, folks, is how you endure. I don't know where you are, but I'll tell you this. You're either needing to endure right now, or you're going to need to endure in the future. Here's the playbook. Keep that in mind. Sound doctrine, his words. Keep the faith. When the pressure comes in, press into God. Press into his faithfulness, his strength, his grace. And remember, you may be alone in this world, but he will never forsake you. Amen.